Criticism. There is no reality to criticism because it is ungodlike. Genesis 1 states that the only creation there is the creation of God. One of the topics that Mary Baker Eddy gave us as a Bible lesson topic is God the only cause and creator. And she, in fact, interprets the first three words of Genesis chapter 1, where it states, in the beginning, she interprets those to mean, in the only. Dr. Fluno, who was one of Mary Baker Eddy's earliest lecturers that traveled around the U.S. in the late 1800s, stated in his article on criticism that it leads to all evil. If there is one topic that we want to make sure that we neutralize and totally clean out of consciousness, it is that one topic of criticism. Mary Baker Eddy stopped a dozen times a day. She said every hour, in order to make sure she was not having any element of criticism in her consciousness. How are we using our moment? That's the smallest measurement of time. Are we using them to guard our thought and to make sure we are only focusing on good and perfection? Mary Baker Eddy interprets the first three words of Genesis chapter 1, where it says in the beginning, she interprets those to mean in the only. And of course, that whole chapter is on creation. So she is saying in the only creation there is, it is the creation that is described in chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2, which is all about perfection. Everything that God did is perfect. When she uses the word good with a capital G, she is saying perfect God. She defines good in the glossary as God, Spirit. And then she gives us the four omnis: omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. She defines spirit as being flawless, spirit being the only substance. So the only reality is perfection, is flawless, flawless goodness. Good means no element of its opposite, which is evil. Could also be defined as matter, because matter is the opposite of spirit, which means that nothing that could be considered material is real. It is all an illusion. Just like Kurt Russell defined the movies and his acting. He said it's all fantasy land. He said his life is what is real. Well, we need to define what life is. And Mary Baker Eddy does that. And life is defined as living the qualities of God. If we live the qualities of God, then we are living a life of perfection. Because every quality of God is of the substance of spirit, because God is spirit himself, and he could not have any attribute, a single element, that even talks about describing him, unless it is perfect goodness. flawless. The easiest way to have a clean consciousness is to not let anything enter which is not godlike. So we have to do it at the front door. Mary Baker Eddy says we should guard our door of thought the same way we would against thieves and murderers. Now, what is a thief or a murderer? Anything that tries to steal our perfection. Anything that tries to kill our joyous thought about perfection. Anything that tries to create dis-ease about anything, which means discord. Anything that tries to create chaos. Anything that tries to create an imbalance. Now, balance is a term to describe principle. And principle, of course, is of the substance of spirit. Principle is the core or the foundation from which everything else springs. Everything else is a tributary to the core term of principle. Love is an absolute mandatory requirement of principle. Mary Baker Eddy frequently describes principle with the term love. She will say, divine principle, love. If we don't have the atmosphere of love, then we cannot be successful in any event about any topic whatsoever. Mind cannot be successful unless it's utilizing the atmosphere of love. Think of the qualities that commonly are attributed to the female, such as mothering, kindness, gentleness, tenderness. Male qualities include things such as strength and courage, life, energy. Neuter qualities are things that don't particularly relate to male or female, but could be utilized with either one. You could think of it as an adjective. So, for example, spiritual seeing, where you have the perception of what is really the difference between perfection and imperfection. That can be utilized with a male or a female quality. The same with the other senses that are thought of as being the way we function, such as hearing, feeling, tasting, smelling, intuition. Intuition is kind of a summary conclusion that is reached because the other five senses are perfected. So we have that sense of intuition automatically because we've already assimilated everything else involuntarily, so we know what is right and what is wrong about whatever topic we are considering. It's like a supreme wisdom. And that means it has to come from the one and only divine mind. Because mind is omniscience, and omniscience is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. we're going to know the right answer. We're going to know that the wisdom is spiritual. We're going to know that the intelligence is real intelligence. It's not a fake. And love makes sure that everything is complete, because love is wholeness. If we operate in the atmosphere of love, we can never lack any quality of God whatsoever. We automatically reflect every quality of God when we operate in the atmosphere of love. The formula is easy. All we have to do is exercise the formula. Mary Baker Eddy discovered the formula. Frederick L. Rosen discovered how to make the formula effective back in time, so that anything that has been a problem can be healed at the very onset of recognizing that it was a problem. He is one of the finest assets to the Christian Science movement of everyone. He also gave us an A to Z encyclopedia of every ill that you can think of with its spiritual solution. It's like the two gardeners. They each had the management of the garden of their estates, and they were adjacent properties. And the one gardener was not really refined and knowledgeable like the other gardener was. And so he would let evil control him, and he'd go over and steal a plant when he needed one. The good gardener thought of him as being his best friend, because he reminded him of what he does not want to be. Well, that's the way that with this encyclopedia, A to Z, by Frederick L. Rosen. If we have some kind of a problem, doesn't matter what it is, it's going to be covered in that encyclopedia. And that problem is a reminder of us to not let it be a part of us. So if we have a problem and we know what the name of it is, we would go to the encyclopedia and look it up for the purpose of denying that element and affirming the spiritual truth that Frederick L. Rosen has so graciously provided us in his encyclopedia, so that we could focus on neutralizing the problem, realizing its nothingness, realizing the reality of the solution and the unreality of what appeared as the problem. We want to make sure that we are trying to solve the right problem, because evil is very deceptive. We may have a problem that is caused by one thing, but because evil is deceptive, it will come forth in a visible form of something totally different. One time, one of Mary Baker Eddy's students went to her to try to get help on solving a problem because they couldn't solve it. And in her early days, she would let students come to her for one-on-one advice. And so they described the problem to her. And she said, well, what are you working on? And they were working on the symptom of the problem, of what they thought the problem was. But they were working on the wrong root, the wrong cause. She said, well, this is a case of malpractice. That's what you need to be working on. Not whatever form it takes in the way of a symptom of something unrelated that's only a deception to distract you from seeing the real problem that needs to be solved. Think of it as having something that needs to be painted, say a wooden house. Let's suppose that you paint it. And in a short while, you have the same problem again. So you go to the paint store and you tell the owner that you're having this problem and you don't know whether his paint is no good or what it is. And he said, well, did you prepare the surface? He said, what do you mean? So he didn't have any clue that he was supposed to prepare the surface before he put the paint on. Are we preparing the surface? One way to prepare the surface in a healing is to make sure that we are in the atmosphere of love. Love is giving. Are we a giver or are we a taker? Are we really happy when we find something free? Our whole website is full of things that are free. As of now, I don't know when you're going to listen to this, and I can't tell you what it'll be tomorrow or next month or next year or 10 years from now, because we take it a day at a time. We strive to listen to what the messages are, the angel messages that come to us about the right steps to take about everything in our life, and that includes the website. For me, because I manage it, are you doing the same thing? It says in the Bible, don't worry about tomorrow. One day's problem is enough for one day. From Matthew 6:34. In the KJV version, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. So there's enough evil right there in front of us today to take care of without us thinking about evil of tomorrow. There is a great filter for our consciousness. Block it before it comes in. Take care of what's already in there. Or at least the new things that are coming, which are trying to be getting a home, a residence for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. In fact, ignorance is the only cause of worry. If we understand the truth, then we don't have any ignorance, because we have spiritual understanding, and that will get rid of fear, which gets rid of worry. Because fear is only another word for worrying about something, and you only worry about it if you don't know the facts. People thought Jesus performed miracles because they didn't know the facts. That's one of the many beauties that Mary Baker Eddy discovered, and that was the science of the healing of everyone that Jesus performed, or let's say he was involved in, because the truth really does the healing. Mind is the medicine. Shakespeare reminds us that we better use the medicine, because Shakespeare says there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. That's the second quote that is at the introduction to the textbook. The first one is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So that goes hand in hand with what Shakespeare tells us. And the first quote is from Jesus, quoted by John in the Gospel of John. And Mary Baker Eddy tells us the importance of prayer in the third quote. She says, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy, that's God, thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. So God is omnipresent. God blesses her by answering her prayers. How does God do that? God does nothing. He already did everything when he created everything, and he gave us his laws. Jesus simplified them. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He said that was the first great commandment, and he said the second one is like unto it. Like unto it means that it basically is giving us the same message and it has the same importance. And that is to love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible tells us we can't love God whom we cannot see visibly unless we love our brethren who we do see and live with, hopefully in harmony, on whatever, wherever we are. Most of us are on planet Earth. I don't know. I haven't been to any other planets physically. So I'm not sure what's there. Getting rid of criticism is so easy if we only think about all of these things that are right in front of our face. Quotes from the Bible, quotes from Mary Baker Eddy. If we lack confidence, read the last 101 pages of Science and Health. Those 101 pages are 85 people who has given us 486 ailments that have been healed in their own individual lives. So each one of them are giving us, I don't know what, five or six apiece. They probably were thinking about one problem, and that's what attracted them to Christian Science, because many of them had what was considered a problem that could not be cured by any other known source. So they had no alternative. They said, well, I may as well check it out. I have nothing to lose. I can't just walk into somebody's office and send them a check for payment, and I have nothing to do on my own. Well, that's not the way it really works. Because if a doctor really was able to cure you, you would never have another problem of any kind, ever. You would never have another problem of any kind whatsoever. A practitioner cannot heal you either. They might be able to relieve you of one problem, but you are the only one that can give you a permanent solution to everything in your life. It's what happened to Mary Magdalene. She was totally transformed. Totally transformed. She was one of the few that showed up at the cross of Jesus on the crucifixion day. She was the first one that went to the tomb looking for the Master, the Lord Christ Jesus. So she obviously had a total transformation from her reputation of the past. We may as well forget about her reputation of the past. That was not her. That was a false representation. That was the invisible that was trying to be visible. And she realized, nope, I'm going to do the opposite. That's only a reminder of what I'm not supposed to be doing. And she grabbed onto the truth with a tenacious stronghold. There isn't a man alive that had more strength than she did when she let herself be transformed. She overpowered evil. Whenever we overpower evil, we are exercising great courage and strength. If we might think that we are the weakest woman in the world, or a little child. In fact, that's what we have to be like in our mental attitude. We have to have the innocence of a child in our consciousness in order to overcome evil, in order to transform ourselves out of the morass of chaos and replace it with the harmony of love. Then we have divine principle love established within our very being. We have gotten rid of condemning ourselves when we have a healing. A practitioner said one time, every day that you have a problem that you are aware of, you have an opportunity to remind yourself that that's not yours. That's not real. And on the other hand, if we don't do it, we are accepting evil as being a part of us. Every day, we have to remind ourselves, yep, that's me. I'm blind or deaf or dumb, ignorant, whatever. Yeah, I've got this cut on my leg, or I broke my toe, or broke my arm, or yeah, I hit my head and now it hurts. Yeah, we have to remind ourselves. If we don't remind ourselves of the evil, we have no evil to be concerned about. And we have to make sure that we realize what Nikola Tesla tells us. He says if someone is having a physical problem, that there is something inside that is not harmonious. That's exactly right. He discovered that, and apparently he didn't know anything about Mary Baker Eddy. But he was alert enough, and he was, like Einstein said, always questioning things to find out the truth. He was following the quote from Jesus, the first quote in the textbook, "Ye shall know the truth, and it will make you free." He was a great, great, alert researcher. Just like Frederick L. Rawson. He said if he got a fresh idea on how to solve a problem, he would try it. And after he learned Christian Science, he would try it on whatever the problem was regarding whatever it was, a business problem or a health problem, or didn't matter. He would test it. And if it worked, he would use it. If it didn't work, he would toss it. Are we that intelligent? Are we reflecting the intelligence of divine mind to that degree? We all have the same capacity. Because the capacity is not personal. The capacity is not attached to a body that is physical or any part of it, such as what is called a brain. That's not where the capacity is. The life of a tree is from God. Otherwise, trees would be self-extinguishing. They would all disappear. The egg and the chicken. All a part of reality at the same time. Now I'm talking about the qualities that they represent. Perpetuity, continuance, sustenance, any number of things you can think of, the fish of the ocean. Jesus ate them, so they must not be all bad. As long as we are walking around with this so-called physical body, we're not prepared to stop eating. That doesn't mean we eat without stopping. Who knows about the salvation of someone else? It's not our business. We all have our own salvation to work out. And looking at someone else and making a judgment on whether we think they're too tall or too short or too fat or too slender, if that's all we've got to think about, we better broaden our scope. We better widen that aperture, that thing we're looking through, because we're not going to be able to see God if that is the scope that we're trying to see of whether or not our neighbor is doing the right thing in our judgment. God doesn't judge. Why should we? God established the rules. It's up to us on whether we follow him. God doesn't say you did this right or wrong. The rules say it. God is announcing himself all the time through his rules. If you want to say God is judging, then you could say that God is judging through his rules, his laws, his commandments. As Jesus gave us the two greatest commandments. That's God. The forgiveness only means that we've condemned. Are we condemning? If we're not condemning, we don't have to be concerned about forgiving. Are we condemning ourselves? Are we condemning someone else? We have to forgive wherever we have condemned. If we are rationalizing doing things that are evil, well, we can only solve that when we realize that evil has no power over us. And when we understand that properly, we will stop doing it. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. We could be doing like one of our government agencies do. And not only do they lie, cheat, and steal, but they have courses that they teach their staff, which is a very large staff. I don't know, they've got tens of thousands of people scattered all over the world doing evil things. Why? Because they have not awakened. They haven't realized that that's the shortest way to their self-extinction. They don't need any help from the outside. They're destroying themselves. We don't have to try to destroy them. All we have to do is get out of the way and let them destroy themselves. And by them, I mean the evil beliefs. If we don't separate the person from the action, no matter who or what we're thinking about, then we will never be able to heal it in our own thought. Why do you think Jesus taught by parables? Parable is not a person. He never taught by condemning people and saying, well, this guy had this problem or this guy did this thing. No. Jesus didn't look upon any of the people that he healed in a personal way. He dealt only with the evil that tried to be in control. That's how we have to do it. If we're going to do it, that's the way we have to do it. Mary Baker Eddy wrote 13 chapters that gave us the facts. And then she gave us chapter 14, which is recapitulation. And of course, what that means is that it's giving us a summary. We can spend, or rather invest, a lot of effort on that summary chapter. Physicists have spent their entire life trying to figure out what God is, what man is, what's real about the universe. And they come up to a dead end because they're approaching it on the basis of matter being real. They will never find the solution that way. Mary Baker Eddy approached it differently. She approached it on what God is, from a standpoint of qualities, not a standpoint of God being material. Instead of seeing with eyes, she saw with spiritual vision. She listened with spiritual hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling the same thing. She defines each one of those terms for us. It's in the blue book on page 222. We have it on the website. Just consider the definition of God. On page 465 in the chapter referred to, recapitulation, God is incorporeal, no body, divine, no imperfection, supreme, nothing above it, infinite, no limit, mind, anything to do with thinking, that's God's department. And that, of course, includes capacity, capability, functionality. Those are all dependent upon how we think. And God takes care of that. All we have to do is get ourselves out of the way and reflect it. God is all creative ability. That's through mind. And if we think about those things, we come up with performance. And if we think about how it's measured, an old term called horsepower. The spiritual term is power. Spiritual power has no limit because God has no limit. What is the substance? As noted, it's spirit. It's flawless. Therefore, it's transparent. Therefore, it's reflective. Soul. I mentioned about the senses. They are all spiritual senses. The real ones are. And who cares about the fake? They're spiritual because spirit is the only substance. Therefore, the only substance of thinking, if we're thinking in the realm of reality, is spiritual thinking. If we're thinking about what is something made of, it's spirit. Because everything else is flawed. Spirit is flawless. If it's flawed, it can't be real. Because real means that it has always been true. Matter comes and goes. You can have the hardest granite, and yet you have soft water that if it runs over it consistently, it will turn it to sand. I already mentioned principle, which is always in balance. It's the core. Everything flows out from principle. Self-operating. But we have to use love with it. In fact, we have to use love with everything. We have to have that atmosphere of love. It's the lubricant that makes everything operate. Life, I mentioned that as being living the qualities of God. You can easily guess what truth is. 2 times 3 equals 27. That's truth. In reverse. Truth is what is true. No mistakes, no error. The truth about evil is that it doesn't exist. So there is no truth in evil. That's what its problem is. It is without truth. Evil is without truth. So it can't be true. Motive. In a court of law, if they can't come up with a motive, they don't convict the individual, or they're not supposed to. There has to be a motive. If they can't find the weapon, they can't prove that the weapon caused the problem, whether it was injury or death or whatever. So they got to come up with a weapon. If they can't find the body, that gives them another problem. So are we looking for a material body to heal? Well, we've got a big problem. As Kurt Russell says, it ain't real. It's fantasy land. If we want to be in the realm of reality, we can't be thinking about something that's unreal. A body made of matter is unreal. Are we trying to heal matter? We got a big problem. Jesus never was able to heal matter. No one's ever been able to heal matter. Matter can't be healed because it's unreal. It has to be replaced. We have to replace the whole concept of a material world. If you have garbage, what do you do with it? You get rid of it. You don't keep it around. You get rid of it. You replace the space that it was taking up with something that is better. In fact, the opposite. You make it clean. I'm assuming that you have a bag of it sitting on a table or on the floor or outside somewhere. So you get rid of it and then you no longer have it there. That's what we have to do with everything that is ungodlike. We have to dispose of it permanently. We have to replace it. We replace error with the truth. We replace 2 times 3 equals 14 with 2 times 3 equals 6. We place the error with truth. Like the actor. He hobbled to the theater, and when his cue came up, this is back in the old days when they had plays and didn't have movies. Well, actually, movies didn't replace plays because they still have plays today. Anyway, he hobbled to the theater, and when his cue came up, he forgot all about his problems. where he could hardly walk, he jumped up on the stage and acted like the youngest member of the company. It's probably exactly what Kurt Russell does when he gets off of the stage. He's now Kurt Russell. He's in reality. He's out of fantasy land and he replaces it with reality. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus saw someone that needed help, he replaced it with his view of the individual as perfect. If he held on to the belief that Lazarus was dead, he couldn't have healed him. Or Tabitha, he had to replace the false concept with the truth. If we see an accident, we have to replace it with the truth that there are no accidents in divine mind. We have to replace it with injury or death with the real man that can't be harmed. If we don't do that, we're going to be living in H-E-L-L. Do we want to live there or do we want to live in H-E-A-V-E-N? It's our choice. We have the option. Most people don't realize we have the option. All of those people that were healed as a result of Frederick L. Rosen's efforts, where he healed them going back in time to when they first were aware that they had a problem, he had to replace the thought that they've had a problem for 5 years or 10 years or however long it was with the reality that they never were in a problem. That wasn't them. He erased it from history by utilizing the spiritual sense of reality of man. Or it could be an event, war. If you had enough people believing it and understood it, understood the truth about principle, they could erase the effects of war. Yeah, the destruction of buildings. Could all be reversed. What does Mary Baker Eddy say as the definition of man? The compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Wow. That's from the glossary, page 591. What does the Bible say? Under the title Children of God, 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3, are as follows. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I am so grateful for every thought, every individual that authored any of the words in the Bible. The same with Mary Baker Eddy, who gave us the wonderful science of Christianity. All the wonderful expert geniuses, such as Frederick L. Rawson, Wentworth Winslow, he raised a boy from the dead, Bliss Knapp, who was under Mary Baker Eddy's direct tutelage since he was about 7 or 8 years old, Dr. Robert C. Putnam, he was a chemist, but he gave us 10 Bible lessons. That explains the key points about every single key person in the Bible, Old and New Testament, the whole works. He covers the whole Bible in 169 pages, which is basically an index, and it incorporates all the Bible in it in order to understand what he has written in 169 pages, you have to read many, many, many chapters. He tells you exactly what to read on each of his key points. Many different chapters out of the Bible. Hundreds of pages you have to read to understand the index, because it's an index, it's a summary. So don't think you can just read 169 pages and whip through it in a few hours and that's it, and you now are an expert on the Bible. Nope. He spent 35 years in that research. To make sure I leave with you the right thought, I'm going to read again the definition of God, the definition of man, and then I will close this recording. And I'll read the definition of God from another source, page 587. And the definition of good from page 587. God is the great I am, all knowing, all seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence, good, God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction, man, the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Children of God, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Amen.